היוי לחיים אני מאמין באמונה שלמה. אל חיים, אל חיים,
אל חיים, אל
חיים, אל חיים, אל חיים, אל חיים. Let's go.
Yeah, what's beautiful.
Right away.
Thank There are enough. All right, we'll say good evening, good evening, good night, Shabbos, Eschus, Baruch Hashem, to be together. Steve, who are our sponsors?
Because of threats, we have four sponsors.
Because of threats, Amish.
Zevi Daniel, in honor of Howie and me, for keeping us sated materially so our souls can be open to the spiritual nourishment from the rug.
Steve, you gotta repeat it. I can hear you, man.
Everybody's talking.
We're still singing.
All right. Zevi Daniel, in honor of Howie and Steve, for keeping us sated materially so our souls can be open to the spiritual nourishment from our rug. Josh Friedman, for a complete rapport for Dov Sadia Lady Ben Esther, memory of Yisro Yehuda Ben Harav Chaim Rafal, and for a safe return for the hostages in the Chayalim. Chaim Ravenstein, for a report for Anonymous, and Ellie Brum, for the safe return of the hostages.
Shkoya, very to all say. A good night of Shabbos, Schos Baruch Hashem, to be able to learn together. As I mentioned last week already we started on some of the inyanim of the Haggadah for the Piyajetzna. And tonight, Yemir Hashem, we're going to continue a little bit as well. And I wanna draw your attention. We're going to do one piece tonight. Well, we're going to do two pieces from the Piyajetzna that we'll bring together. And as I quoted to you yesterday, we're learning out of this beautiful Haggadah called the Haggadah's Piyajetzna. The Rebbe didn't write the Perusham Haggadah, but again, someone came along and really was malakish, really just collected. By the way, there are more sheets over here if anyone needs. And really just collected various teachings of the Piaget. Now, I'll say, as I go through this, it's incredible to see how much of what's quoted over here is from B'nai Machshava Tova. So really, really very special and really very beautiful, Baruch Hashem. So you'll see some of it, and I think it's going to be familiar with us. So tonight, we're going to focus on the side of the page that begins with Vehisha Amda. Vehisha Amda. So we're going to focus tonight, Yemir Hashem, on this particular passage in the Haggadah. And remember, we say every year, Vehisha Amda Lav Osinu V'lanu. And it is this, Vehi, and it is this that has stood for us and our forefathers. Shelo Echad Bilvad Amad Aleinu L'chal Osinu. It has not been only one enemy which has risen against us to destroy us. Ela Shebechol Dar V'Adar Omdim Aleinu L'chal Osinu. In every generation, someone arises to try to destroy us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Matzilin Miyadam. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes ahead and saves us from their hands. And I think I will say, you know, we read this particular passage every single year. And I think for many of us, for the first time in our lifetime, so this particular passage takes on and resonates with such an incredible profundity, especially given the times that we are living in. This ultimate affirmation that anti-Semitism, hatred, the desire of those to exterminate us and to obliterate us, this is not a new thing. This is not a new thing. This has been the dynamic of the Jew from the beginning of time, right? When again, already, Paro wanted to exterminate us in Egypt. And the truth is, in Avram Avinu, Avimelech wanted to do away with him, and Paro wanted to do away with him. You can go through the list. And I will say, but at the end of the day, V'akadosh Baruch Hu Matzilinu Mi'adam, the Ribbono Shel Olam always saves us. And I will say, this is an incredibly important yisod. You know, we often straddle this incredibly important line. You know, on one hand, we are obligated to put in ishtatlus, obligated to put in effort. So, for example, just even like focusing on Eretz Yisrael now, we're obligated to engage in advocacy in all different ways. I will say, but I'll tell you, you know, I just found it so like on one hand, sad, depressing, unnerving, rattling, yet inspiring. You know, Sad, the Schuss yesterday to participate in his delegation to the White House to, as part of the OU to deliver the 180,000 letters, which, you know, it was a pretty big deal from our community to get, and it was over, by the time we got there, it was over 200,000 letters. Now, quote, it's a lot, and it was 3 days. Remember, again, this whole thing started last Thursday, and Shabbos, no one's signing letters. I hope not, unless it's our Gentile friends. They can sign letters. You know, so you think about that type of mass mobilization, it's incredible. And I will say, and then, you leave an event like that, and people are like, yeah, we're with you. Like, yes, this is going to be, clearly, again, the Jewish community has spoken. It's incredible. And I will say, we just talked about before, like, you see what happened in the news today. You see what happened in the news today, that the president for the first time seems like explicitly expressed that aid is going to become conditional if Israel does not do what he wants. You think to yourself, we're just there yesterday. We were just there yesterday, out in force, representing. Rabbi Howard made such a beautiful comment. He said, we're not here as the mouthpiece of American Jewry. American Jewry has spoken on its own, right? If people sign those letters, you don't need to be the mouthpiece. I will say, it's like incredible. So you show up, you're there, and again, the chief of staff, the assistant chief of staff, yes, Israel is our friend. And then again, you look at this, and I will say, one of the points that we tried to make over and over and over was that, especially coming from the White House, whatever is said in the White House sends a ripple effect in this country and in the world. And if American leadership is ambiguous and they don't have moral clarity, that's where anti-Semitism on campuses come from. And that's where the world becomes ambiguous as well. And, then you leave and you feel good like you did something for Klal Yisrael, and then you see like this ridiculous statement, ridiculous response today, and it reminds us of this paragraph, that at the end of the day, it has never been U.S. presidents that have saved us, and it has never been congressmen or representatives or senators or anything else. Those people are tools. I don't mean that like in the derogatory sense. I didn't mean it that way. I meant that they're utensils. No, I'm not going to. They are utensils. They're chomer biyad hayotzer. They're clay. They're clay in the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They don't decide our fate. They don't decide our future. They're not the decision makers for the continuity of Klal Yisrael. No one is. No one is. There's only one entity in this world that is the sole determinator of Klal Yisrael's existential destiny, and that is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is it. So again, we have to put in our effort, and we have to work all of these different channels and do all of these different things, but we should never become disheartened. Sometimes, like on one hand, you want to check the news, but you don't want to check the news, right? You want to check the news because you want to be informed, but the truth is, like, I don't want to see it. I don't want to see it. I recently, usually, when I'm drinking my first cup of coffee in the morning, like before I come to shul, I usually just take like a quick scroll of the headlines. And the truth is, I've stopped doing it now because the truth is, from the time that I wake up through Shachris, that's my naive time of the day. The only thing I know what's happening is what's happening above Metziah. If it's not above Metziah, I don't know what's going on. And I will say, the truth is, like, It's helpful, because otherwise everything is so heavy and everything is so dark and everything is so bleak and everything is so difficult, right? And you see, sometimes it's just overwhelming. It's just overwhelming. And the fact that there are still 134 of our brothers and sisters languishing. Again, I will say, it was a tragedy what happened to the 7 aid workers in Gaza. From that, what is it called? World's Kitchen. It's a tragedy. It's always a tragedy when innocent people die. Just like it's a tragedy when innocent civilians in Gaza. It's a tragedy when innocent people die. But how come the world forgets about us? 181 days into this, and our hostages, right? Our innocents, they're not even buried on a back page. They don't appear anywhere. They don't appear anywhere. Yeah, Israel takes responsibility and laments the loss of innocent life. When it comes to Jewish lives, to be honest, Jewish lives don't matter to anyone. They don't matter to anyone. And it's a hard pill to swallow. Rabbi say, the sooner we swallow it and like get it down, the easier it is to actually move forward in life and actually make a difference. Because then we realize, the Yeshua, we have to work all of the channels that are at our disposal, but that is not where the Yeshua is going to come from. Just look at the decision makers and look at the people who hold and wield all of this power and are absolutely clueless, bordering on just clueless, right, of what to do with that power and what you could affect with that power and the change you could. I would say, can you imagine if world leaders understood the power they had now? Do you know what the power is now, I was saying? This is a pivotal moment in mankind's history where good could actually win over evil. That's now. If the world banded together and the world literally saw who's good and who's evil and they said, we are standing on the side of good, it would turn the tide in the trajectory of humanity. But humanity never misses an opportunity to miss an opportunity. So instead, there's moral ambiguity. Instead, there's equivocation. But we come to the Hishamda. The Hishamda says, okay, don't get worked up. This is not a new story. This is the same story, just different players. So I want to share with you a beautiful idea. The one part that is somewhat ambiguous about this particular section is, what is the Vihi? What is the Vihi? Vihi Sha'amda. And this thing, this, it, that has stood for our forefathers and us. So I will say, what's the it? What's the it? So what would you say? What's the simple pshat? What's the it? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the truth is, that's true, but that's a strange way to refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vihi Sha'amda. First of all, again, I will say, the Ribbono Shel Olam sometimes is referred to in the feminine. There's, you know, the Zohar brings down, there's the Duchra and the Nukva. There is the male qualities of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, and the female qualities of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But in the Haggadah, generally, especially when dealing about redemption, God is usually referred to in the male capacity and not in the female. So what is Vihi? And this, there's a number of different interpretations about this. One of my other favorite Haggadahs is this Haggadah called the Haggadah is Beis Avram, Beis Aaron. It was written by, the author is Rav Avram Aaron Friedman, who was the Rav of Chup. Chup was a town in Hungary. And it's incredible, just as an aside, you could see in the beginning of the Haggadah, they actually have like the manuscripts. And the way he wrote it was, he wrote the Haggadah, and he wrote his commentaries on the Haggadah. But the way he has it, I don't know what you call it, like a supra-commentary, when you have a commentary and then a commentary on the commentary. Like what the Mishnah Berurah did, right? There's the Mishnah Berurah, and then there's the Bir Halacha, right? So he did this also. He wrote the Perush on the Haggadah, and then a Perush on the Perush of the Haggadah. So really, one of my favorite Haggadahs, he has a whole piece over here about what Vihi is. But I want to show you the Piyajetzna. I want to show you the Piyajetzna first, and then if we have time, we'll go back to other ideas. So we'll say, look what he writes over here. Vinodas, it's in the section, the second part of the page. So listen to this. Vinodas Shelas Hasfar Makidoshim. Everyone knows the famous Kasha. What's the famous Kasha? Ma Vihi. What is Vihi? What is Vihi? Right? And it. What is the it? Umay koi tevas vihi sha'amda lanu. Sorry, va'alma koi tevas vihi sha'amda lanu. Again, what is it that, in other words, what we're saying in this section is, there is something that has like stood for us, something that has been steadfast for us. What is the thing? What is the vihi? Va'adar ha'pashit. Yishak al-Ish Baruch ma'atzilam yadam. So we'll say, so what's the pashit pshat? So pashit pshat is that it's explained later on, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu ultimately saves us. Hashem Baruch Hu always saves us. Now listen to this. He says the Piyajetzna, Lo bilvad terem sha'anu nisuna biyadam shal sonenu, rak gam kishekvar anu biyadayim. So Rabbi say, the Piyajetzna points out over here, and just to point out, this is from Ish Kodesh. So remember again, Ish Kodesh are the drushes that the Piyajetzna gave in the Warsaw Ghetto. So just understand something, he'll say. You know, when the Piyajetzna is giving a drusha on Pesach, about Vihi Sha'amda, and they're reading this section, and they're reading Shalo Echad Bilvad Amad Alino L'Chalosein. We haven't just faced one enemy historically. Rather, in every generation, Omdim Alino L'Chalosein, they stand up to destroy us. The Piyajetzna is living it. The Piyajetzna is living it. He's literally living through that dynamic. So he says something amazing. He says, there are two aspects to the redemptive power of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Two aspects to it. One is terem sha'anu nusunim biyadam shal sonenu. So one element is HaKadosh Baruch Hu proactively saves us, right? We're on the cusp of being in danger, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu extricates us from that danger, a proactive salvation. And we'll say, you know, what's the interesting part about the proactive salvations in life? What's the interesting part of them? Sometimes you're not even aware of them. And I will say, you know, you ever have like one of those situations when you're driving and you almost get into like a really serious accident? So what's going through your mind after you get into that, almost get into a really serious accident? What's going through your mind?
Drive better.
Drive better. Okay. So, right. True. Sometimes that could be the most, sir. Good. I'm sorry. Thank God I didn't get into an accident. I will say, but what you also realize is like, how profoundly vulnerable you are, right? We don't think about this, but like, you could be the best driver in the world. But if the person next to you is not a good driver, right? So you're done. So you realize like, when you have one of those mishaps, whatever, you doze off or something else happens, you realize like, my gosh, like, HaKadosh Baruch Hu really watched out for me. But it's not just now. It's how many times every single day am I in harm's way? And the Ribono Shel Olam saves me and I don't even know about it. This, I will say, is the pshat we say in Modim. We thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Al Nisecha Shebechol Yomimanu. Thank you for the miracles that you give me every single day. I don't know, I will say, I've had days where, like, I don't know, I didn't see any miraculous activity today. I don't know, it's been, you know, I walked by the puddles, I was waiting for them to split. You know, nothing occurred. So I don't know, days where, like, everything just seems ordinary. So the Stempler explains so beautifully, Al Nisecha Shebechol Yomimanu means, every single day there are nisim and niflaos. Every day there are dramatic miracles all around us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu saving us in ways that we don't even know, but we're just never cognizant of it. So the Piagetsna says one element of salvation is what we'll call proactive salvation. HaKadosh Baruch Hu prevents us from encountering harm. HaKadosh Baruch Hu prevents us from suffering. He saves us, right? As things are heating up, he pulls it back. He says, Rak gam shekvar anu biyadam. There's another type of salvation, Rabbi Osai. The other type of salvation is when we are already in trouble. We're already in trouble. In other words, I'm already suffering. I'm already having difficulty. I'm already overwhelmed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu matzil osanu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu saves us. So Rabbi Osai, isn't this incredible? Two elements of salvation. Proactive salvation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu saves me before I get into trouble. And then ultimately, again, I guess what we'd call like reactive salvation. I'm in trouble, I'm suffering, I'm in difficult circumstances, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says in the Piagetsna, right, he says, V'hi sh'amda lanu. I will say the Piagetsna says, that's the V'hi. What's the mindset, I will say, what's the mindset that has preserved, or not even the mindset, but like, what's the theology, what's the hashkafa that has saved us through the years? What is the pillar of our hashkafa ultimately at the end of the day that has held us strong? What's the vihi sha'amda? The Piagetsna posits is no matter how bad things look, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will always come through. That's the message. That's the vihi. The vihi sha'amda is not the proactive salvation. The vihi sha'amda is the reactive salvation. That even when I'm in trouble and things look so terribly bleak, V'hi sha'amda lavoseinu velanu. The thing that has kept us going throughout all of the years is no matter how terrible things look, HaKadosh Baruch Hu always comes through. This, by the way, is a theme throughout Chassidus. Right? Rabbi Nachman calls this Ein Shum Yeyosh Ba'olam Klal. There's no such thing as Yeyosh. There's no such thing as giving up hope. But that's the V'hi. So we'll say, if somebody asks you, what is the most important hashkafic nugget? Right? What is the most important hashkafic pillar that holds up the entirety of Yiddishkeit? You say, oh, my Rebbe told me, Piagetsna told me, Ish Kodesh, Pesach, Tovshin Aleph, the year 1940, where the Rebbe said, V'hi sha'amda lavosin, the most important thing, theological pillar, that has kept us afloat all of these years, is that no matter how bad things are, HaKadosh Baruch Hu always has our back. The Yeshua Krova Lovo. Salvation is approaching. And the Rebbe goes on, he says, Ubazeh. This is so beautiful. He says, Ubazeh. And I will say, understand just the context. Understand the context. This is Pesach 1940 in the Warsaw Ghetto. So understand who he's talking to. Understand, I will say, you know, by Pesach 1940 in the ghetto, there are no children in the ghetto anymore. There are no children. You know what that means? I mentioned this before. I remember, let's say, you know, when we came back into the shul after COVID, so what? I don't know why this triggered. One of the most beautiful things was hearing kids screaming in shul. Because I think, like, after everything went quiet, that was, like, the most incredible... I mean, for, like, 5 minutes, and then it was, like, right? That was the most incredible sound of vitality. So I'll say, imagine you're in a community, and there's no children in your community. There's no children in the Warsaw Ghetto. There's no children. So understand who the kehillah is. It's a kehillah of bereaved parents. It's a kehillah of where every single person there has suffered some form of devastating loss. And the Piagets was like chevra. We got to hold on to the one thing that has kept us afloat throughout the millennia. And that's the knowledge that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to forsake us. He's not going to leave us. He's got our back even when we are in the thick of this, of these catastrophic circumstances. Look what he writes. And we have to strengthen our emunah. We have to strengthen, well, really means we have to strengthen our sense of optimism and hope. That even when we think that we have fallen into the hands of our enemies and there is no more hope, even then, there is always room for hope. Even then, the Jew always has to hold on to his optimism. Oh, Defshar. Furthermore, the Piagetna says, he says something amazing. Actually, we'll focus on this over here. He skip actually to the left hand column. He says aval v'hishamda. It's like if you look in the left hand column, the first short line there. Aval v'hishamda. Shakadosh Baruch Hu matzilim yadam gam bizman sheyede esav sholtos. See, I will say the Piaget now is here is making an incredible deal. In Parshas Toldos. Where, remember again, Yaakov comes to go ahead and get the bracha from his father, from Yitzchak. So Yaakov dresses up, right? There's the whole ruse. And what happens? Yitzchak is suspicious. And what does Yitzchak say? Hakol kol Yaakov, the voice is the voice of Yaakov, v'hayidayim yidei Esav. But the hands are the hands of Esav. The Piagetna says, v'akadosh baruch hu matzilenu miyadam. Yado shel Esav, v'hayidayim yidei Esav. Even when we are literally in the hands of our enemies, even when literally we are in the clutches of our enemies, and it looks like everything is bleak, and it looks like everything is doomed, even then, when we are in the yadayim, in the hands, even then, HaKadosh Baruch Hu matzilenu miyadam. Even when Esav has his hands around us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu still saves us. He said, goes on, he says, Gam yidei Esav, yidei Esav sholtos, So this is really just an incredible, incredible piece. Right? What is the vihi? What is the vihi? The vihi ultimately is the understanding that even when the adayim of Esav are around us, even when we are actively suffering, even when things are objectively compromised and life is difficult, even then, we operate with the belief that HaKadosh Baruch Hu always comes through. Now, Rabbi, you may think to yourself, HaKadosh Baruch Hu always comes through. The Piagetna was killed. It's a nice message. The Piagetna was killed by Nazi Masham V'Zichram. So we'll say, understand what it means for a Jew to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes through. We'll say, Klal Yisrael is an entity that is greater than the sum of its parts. And our power and our abilities go far beyond the duration of our personal lives. So when we speak about the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu always comes through, it doesn't mean that people don't die, and it doesn't mean that individuals don't suffer, and it doesn't mean that Chas v'Shalom individuals don't face inescapable realities. What it means is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu always ensures the eternality of the klal, and the sacrifices of the individuals are always impactful and meaningful. That's the vihi sha'amda. And the Piagetna says, that is the most important yisod to inculcate within ourselves. I know it's heavy. And I know that it's heavy. And I will say, but you know, sometimes, you know, I think because there are so many heavy things happening all around us, sometimes when you're exposed to, you know, a sustained heaviness, you just want something light. And I will say, that's not what mature and responsible adults do. When life is heavy for a yid, you know what you do?
You lean into it. You lean into it. This is it. Chavra, this is life now. This is life now. Our people are suffering. Our nation's at war. Our land is at war. Our hostages are languishing. That's it. This is our life. This is our life. And it doesn't mean that there's not room, of course, for simcha. There's always simcha. And to celebrate simchas and to be besimcha. But it's important. You know, I think sometimes, because somebody said this to me last Shabbos. They said, like, it was like one of those, like, interesting compliment, non-compliment things. You know, and it went something like this. It was a really beautiful drasha. But I think it's time to, like, lighten things up a little bit. I was like, oh, okay. Oh, I guess I missed the memo. I missed the memo. So what happened? The hostages came home, right? The soldiers are all okay. Everybody's good. It's time to lighten things up. Then he said it was too long also. But all right, that was Macabre. That I can't argue it. I say, this is our avoda. We're not on the physical front lines, but we absolutely are on the spiritual front lines. So it's like, we got to roll up our sleeves. We have to roll up our sleeves. Like, this is not a time to kind of kick back and relax. You know, I'll tell you the truth. I was really hoping. I don't know if maybe it'll happen or not. I was hoping that the yeshivas would cancel Ben Azmanin. I'll say, you know, the IDF canceled all home leave for combat soldiers today. No one is going home. No one is going home. They canceled all home leave for active duty soldiers today. So why did Bachrim have Ben Azmanin? I don't understand. If everybody's a soldier, and everybody is a soldier, so what? So I'll say, I think, like, it's like a shtickle disconnect. There's a shtickle disconnect between the sense of achrayis that all of us have to have. And again, I want to be clear. This doesn't mean be all intense all the time. There's a time to relax, and there's a time for this, and even the soldiers do get time. Like, I'll say, but, like, I think I feel a little bit that sometimes we're getting, like, a little bit of war fatigue. And kind of like, we don't have that luxury. We don't have that luxury. Now is the time to lean into it even more. V'hisha amda avosinu. There's only one source of salvation in this world. One source. And that is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything else we do, we have to put in our hishtadlus. It's like, you can't say HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to save us. You have to have an army. And you have to have brave soldiers who are willing to be moser nefesh. And you have to do your advocacy. But v'hisha amda, the thing that has stood fast for us all of these years, at the end of the day, is the Ribon Shalom. So if this is the source of our salvation, Chevra, we got to lean into HaKadosh Baruch Hu even more. That's what this called. This is a time to redouble efforts. I know it comes at a strange time, because, like, it's Pesach, a lot of people are going away, which is beautiful. Go away. Nothing says you shouldn't go away for Pesach. But Chevra, I don't know that it's like a Disneyland year. I don't know that it's a, again, I don't want to offend anyone. But, like, I don't know that it's a Disneyland year. I just don't know. It doesn't mean you can't do fun things. You should do fun things. Again, and maybe it is a Disneyland year, but maybe it's Disneyland accompanied with something else. Like, we have to lean into this and recognize V'HaKadosh Baruch Hu Matzil Me'adam. This is the only source of salvation. We do everything else because a Yid has to put in Ishtadlus, but this is it. This is it. And the more we redouble our efforts of connection, and the more we redouble our efforts of avoda, plus all of the necessary hishtadlus we have to put in, that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu Matzilinu Mi'adam. Bless you. Let me share with you one last piece, then we're going to wrap it up for tonight. So we'll see. If you look at the next page, the beautiful part about this Haggadah is also, yeah, some beautiful stories in here. First of all, we should make a l'chaim. I know this is very heavy tonight. But we should make a l'chaim. We should make a l'chaim, l'chaim, l'chaim. L'chaim, l'chaim. Okay, well said. So look at the Maisa. Next page. It says,
four sponsors and two bottles?
Yeah, by the way, Steve, what's the economics of that? Four sponsors and two bottles?
We're ahead of the game.
Someone's skimming off the top over here. Someone's good. So take a look. Chavra. Come, let's focus in. Lean in. Makhtaris l'chassid. So, look at this, Maisa. This is incredible. So he says, Hu Leib Bain. So we'll say he quotes the story about this particular chassid of the Piagets, no? His name was Leib Bain, okay? Hai b'meshech shanim, rabos itunai. Chassid of Piagets, he was a journalist. He was a journalist, ultimately, again, a chassid of the Piagets, no? The chaver masra l'mizrachi v'apol ha-mizrachi. So we'll say, you know, it used to be that one could fly many different flags, you know, ultimately, again, in terms of their affiliations. So this particular chassid, again, he was a chassid of Piagetsna. He was involved with Mizrahi. Okay. The Meshach Shanim Rabos, Hayinitzigim Shal Chassid Piagetsna, Bevada Kila Shal Varsha, Hoyatipus Ma'anyin Shal Chassid Polani, Vaya Kasher El Harebi Me Piagetsna, Bachoni Me Nafsho. So this guy, this Leibain was a very interesting individual. Very interesting individual. Again, had many different affiliations, but he was someone who was profoundly connected to the Rebbe. So both of you listen to this. Rav Label Siperli. So ultimately, again, he says this guy, Rav Label, told the author over here a story. Ki pam nasala izamakam b'chutzlarts. One time, Rav Label was traveling outside of Poland. V'arevim piyajetzna bikesh sheyikne lo makteres le'ishun. The piyajetzna asked the chassid to get him. Interesting. Can you buy me an ashtray? Ashtray, pick me up. And I heard about the ashtrays in Chutzlars are very nice. Pick me up an ashtray. Okay. Reb Label, so what happens? Well, so Reb Label goes, he comes back. Reb Label shachach liknos makteras. So Reb Label forgot. He forgot to buy an ashtray. V'ratz mishach zer habayso. I'm sorry, v'rak mishach zer habayso niskar. And he forgot all about it. And only when he got back home did he remember, I forgot the Rebbe's ashtray. So what did he do? Kana efon makteras pechanos pevarsha v'hevi ala Rebbe. So what did he do? He's coming back to see the Piagetsna. He stopped at like a convenience store. He bought an ashtray. He says, right, whatever. An ashtray is an ashtray. What is that? I figured the Rebbe needed an ashtray. So what does it matter if I buy the ashtray wherever he was traveling, or if I buy it in Warsaw? So he stops at a story by the ashtray. Kesherah ha-Rebbe Shena Makteres Zu Masha Bikesh. So the Rebbe saw, I don't know if the Piagetsna smoked or didn't smoke, but Lamaisa, the Rebbe saw clearly that this was a Warsaw ashtray or a Piagetsna ashtray and not the Chutzlarz ashtray. And I will say, everything in Chutzlarz is nicer. Right? And the truth is, I shouldn't use the word Chutzlarz by Poland. That's really, it's the wrong guy. Right? But again, overseas, this is not an overseas ashtray. So the Rebbe saw this. Amarlo, kach. So Amarlo, kach. So listen to this, we'll say, the Piagetsna said to this chassid of label, Ma ata choshev? Shani tzarech lematana mimcha? So the Piagetsna said to the label, do you think like I need an ashtray? Right. First of all, if I need an ashtray, you just bought this at the bodega, right? Whatever the Polish equivalent of a bodega is, right? Right. You know, you just bought this at the bodega down the block. So you think I need an ashtray? Listen to this. Ani ratzisi shetiskar b'shar shatanimtza b'chutz la'aretz shehincha chassid sheyesh lecha rebbe v'shetisnahi kechassid. The only thing I wanted is I sent you on a mission to bring me something back. So that when you were outside of the confines of the Hasidic court of Piagetsna, you would remember that you're a Hasid, you would remember to act like a Hasid, and you would remember that you have a Rebbe who cares about you. So isn't this incredible? So the Piagetsna figured, let me give him a job. If I give him a job, that'll keep him tethered to me. And if he's tethered to me, to a Rebbe who loves him and cares about him, to a Rebbe who helps him to define his Judaic identity, reminds him that he's a chassid, he'll behave like a chassid, he'll continue to dress like a chassid, he'll act like a chassid, and he'll hold himself to a higher level. Avastam matana eino nechutzeri. Piagetsna says, I don't need a gift. Thank you so much. Hopefully you kept the receipt. Right? But Lamaisa, you can, I don't need it. So he says, me'osa zman, haya kasher al Rebbe b'chol nimei nafsho, so from this point on, Rav Label, who was a devoted chassid from the beginning, really became even more devoted to his Rebbe. And I will say, I was very taken by this story because, you know, I think it ties in, first of all, to the Hisha Amda, and it ties into also what we learned last week. And I will say, if you think about it, the whole entire Yisod of Mitzvos, right, and we'll tie this all together in just a moment, but the entire Avoda of Mitzvos, why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu give us so many Mitzvos? I will say, mitzvos are lahavdil, the ashtray. Mitzvos are the ashtray. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you're going out into the world. You're going out into life. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I don't want you to forget about me. I don't want you to forget that you have a God who loves you. I don't want you to forget that you have a God who believes in you. I don't want you to forget in your own personal holiness. I don't want you to forget in your own ability to accomplish. I don't want you to forget that you have the ability to self-actualize. What am I going to tell you to do? Do mitzvos. I'll say mitzvos aren't an ends. Mitzvos are a means to prevent us from forgetting the greatest Rebbe of all, the Ribono Shel Olam, the Rebbe of Rebbes, the Ribono Shel Olam. That's what mitzvos do. The mitzvos, Taryag mitzvos, is the Ribono Shel Olam's ashtray that he gives us to keep us connected. And I will say, when it comes to Pesach, there are so many, if you think about it, by the way, there is no other time of the year where you have so many physical reminders, right? Think about this just a moment. Like Rosh Hashanah you have a shofar, you have the apple and honey, you have the simanim, but it's still not the same as Pesach, right? Think about what you have on Pesach. You have a whole ka'ara. You have a seder plate, right? You have matzos. Right, you have maror, you have karpas, you have all these different things. Why, Rabbi? Say why? Because the Piagetan, I think, would say that the entire avoda of the Leil HaSeder, in general, I was speaking on this the other day. I gave a shir to a group of women this week, post college women, and it was interesting. I was like to throw out the question of like, what? How do you know if you had a successful Seder? It's a good question to know, right? How do you know if you have a successful Seder? So what would you say? How do you know? Stayed awake, right? That's always answer number one, right? If you are awake, and by the way, say not wrong, not a wrong answer at all, right? If you go out and you make it to the end, good. How else do you know if you had a successful Seder? I'm sorry, strong maror, good, strong maror, and you're still standing, good. Good. I'm sorry, shalom.
Shalom at the table.
Shalom at the table. Big one, by the way. Everybody still likes each other at the end of the Seder. That I'll say, that not so pashut. Not so pashut. Right. They go hand in hand, right? People will like you as long as you don't give long divrei Torah. Good. Yes. Right? Absolutely. Everyone that started, finish it. Beautiful. Good. What else, Chavro? What else?
Still find the Afikoman.
Good.
Come away different than when you started.
So I'll say, remember again, This in general is an avodah in Yiddishkeit. We learned this, remember what I said, we learned this in B'nai Machshava Tova. Remember again, the Rebbe said, how do you know if you're an Eved or a Ben? Remember what he said? Right? A Ben is closer, but how do I know where I'm holding? So the Rebbe says, if after you daven, do you feel different? If the answer is no, you're still an Eved. If the answer is yes, then you're a Ben. Then you're a son. So certainly part of the avodah of the Pesach Seder is to go ahead and ultimately to feel different. But I think what our Rebbe, because our Rebbe is the Piagetzna, what I think what our Rebbe would say is, how do you know if you've had an effective Seder? We'll say, if you walk away from that experience feeling closer to the Ribono Shel Olam, if you feel like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I am now more tethered to you after this Seder than I was before, that's a successful Seder. That's the avoda. The avoda is the hisha amda. If I come out of the Seder and I'm saying the one phrase that is rolling over my lips over and over and over is Va'akadosh Baruch Hu matzilenu miyadam. Even if I find myself in the hands of Esav, even if I find myself in the worst predicament, the Ribono Shel Olam has my back. If you walk away from your Seder and you don't just say it, but you feel that, that's a successful Seder. Shabbos says, you ask yourself, so why so many physical parts of the Seder? Seder is such a physical experience. Not like we're reclining, we're drinking, and again, we'll say, it's Kedai, by the way, don't use the Rashi light. You know, come on, you know, man up, let's go, right? We'll say, again, Seder is the time. No, you stay away. No joy then. No, you can do that. That's, you know. We'll say, no, because, no, in all seriousness, by the way.
Throughout the year,
you
use grape juice, but on Pesach
you're
specifically with those
things,
wine.
There are some people who only remember one thing that I say. Right? It's like 5,000 shiurim, like on the thing. The thing you say every single, but that is true. It is, right? But again, I will say, but think about it, right? I'm just without getting caught on the wine right now. I'll say, but remember again, there's so many things that we do. Why all the emphasis? Because I'm also saying, remember again, these are the ashtrays. Chazal Baruch Hu gives us the wine. Don't forget about me. The matzah. Don't forget about me. The maror. Don't forget about me. The karpas. The afikomen. The manishtana. The kosher elio. The kittel. There is so much stuff. Why? Because each of those things are the ashtrays that our Rebbe, that Avinu Shebashrayim gives us so that we don't forget about it. But don't forget what? That we don't forget that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Matzilinu Mi'adam. To walk away from the Leil HaSeder with one basic yisod, that no matter what is happening in my life as an individual or as a nation, even if the hands of Esav are literally wrapped around my neck, even if it's no longer a proactive salvation because I'm in the midst of such difficulty, the Ribono Shel Olam always comes through. And the avod of the Leil HaSeder is not just to say it, but to use all of the different pieces, all the different ashtrays, so to speak, lahavdil, in order not just to say it, but emirat Hashem, in order to truly believe it. Rabbosu, we'll stop over for tonight. Shkoyach, everyone. Myriv in the shul. Myriv in the shul. Chavra, just I want to throw something out. I'm going to put it out on the chat. I'm going to put it on the chat because I haven't put out a poll for a while on this chat. Next week, I have a Baruch Hashem, a Simcha conflict, but I really don't want to miss the shir. So I'm going to put out, I'm just giving you coming attractions, if we could do the shir at 9 o'clock. At 9 o'clock instead of, or 9, well, maybe we'll do Myriv 9:15 and then the shir afterwards. So. This is bigger than Schnitzel. This late, there's got to be something even.
We do a poll.
You can put food options.